ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। At the fear of being called a misogynist, I'd rather not be just, have to look straight at the ladies. You could sit in between. So, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 2, translation and commentary. By His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I just have to find the verse. Jnanam tehamsa vijnanam idam vakshyame seshatah yate yajgyatvaneha bhuyo Jnanam teham sa vijnanam idam vakshyame seshatah yajñātvā bhūya neho yajñātvā neha bhūyo nyaj jñātavyam avaśiṣyate. Jnanam teham sa vijnanam idam vakshyam yaseshatah yajgyatva neha bhuyo nyaj gyatavyam avashishyate. Jnanam teham sa vijnanam idam, not idam, idam.
What is different? Idam.
Kratko i short.
Idam. Idam vakshyam asheshatah.
It's pretty. Okay, I'll take a break to little thing about pronunciation. Pradeg, Krishna, Vishnu Bhakti Pradedevi, not Prade. Right? That's common in the whole Western world. Vishnu Bhakti Pradedevi, not Prade. And Prabhu, not Prabhu Nityananda, Prabhu. You can bear it in mind. I have a lecture somewhere on my website about pronunciation with the idea that if you're going to say it every day for the rest of eternity, you might as well get it right. Is that correct, Darshi? Did I say it right? What's the proper pronunciation? Devarshi, yeah. So, okay, now I know. So if I keep on saying Darshi, is that very good? If I see you every day and every day I say Darshi, Darshi, Darshi.
And then it will be like this.
Yeah, so if you're going to speak to God, you should at least learn how to say His name well. Okay, so it's a simple thing, actually. If you just look and you see if there's a long, if there's an I with a dot over, then it's E. If there's not, then it's I. Idam. Idam. Mm-hmm. There's a difference, yeah. Right? Lokanath Maharaj made a whole book on Sanskrit pronunciation. I wrote something there in the foreword. I gave an example that is just like, it may be a small difference in pronunciation, but it makes a lot of difference. Just like I could say to you, please sit here. And then if you write that and pronounce it SH instead of please sit here, please SHIT here. It's a small difference in pronunciation, but it makes a lot of difference, doesn't it?
Jayapataka Maharaj also said that he is not Jayapataka Maharaj, something like this, is different.
Pataka. Pataka.
Because some is a flood. Another thing is, I don't know, some maybe demon, or I don't know.
Well, Pataka is fireworks.
Something.
Pata. All glories to the fireworks. Pataka. In Sanskrit, that would be Pataka. Slight difference. Okay, anyway, go on.
Idam Baksham Yashe Shataha.
Idam Baksham Yashe Shataha.
Yach Gyatva Neha Buyo Nyach.
Yach Gyatva Neha Buyo Nyach.
Ya Tatvam Vishishyate.
Yanam.
Yanam.
Phenomenal knowledge.
Phenomenal
knowledge. Te unto you.
Unto you.
Aham.
I.
Sat. With. Vigyanam. Numinous knowledge. Idam. This. Bhakshyami.
Shall explain.
Asheshataha.
In full.
Yet.
Which.
Nyatva,
knowing,
na, not,
iha,
in this world,
bhuyaha,
further,
anyat,
anything more, nyatavyam,
knowable,
avashishyate,
remains.
Translation. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Phenomenal and numinous here basically means material and spiritual. Did you translate this Gita, this Croatian edition?
Adi Kamantanji.
Uh-huh. Did she? What words did she use for phenomenal and numinous? Not material and spiritual. She used those words. That
phenomenal and it says divine.
Maybe. Divine, yeah, yeah. The terms are actually taken from who is that? It's from Kant, or that may have been Hayagriva who inserted that. Nothing further, because Srila Prabhupada told him to make the translations based on Dr. Radhakrishnan's translations. Purport. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. This is transcendental knowledge. The Lord wants to explain the above-mentioned system of knowledge because Arjuna is Krishna's confidential devotee and friend. In the beginning of the fourth chapter, this explanation was given by the Lord, and it is again confirmed here. Complete knowledge can be achieved. Oops, I'm just going down a bit. Yeah. Complete knowledge can be achieved. Only by the devotee of the Lord in disciplic succession directly from the Lord. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to know the source of all knowledge, who is the cause of all causes and the only object for meditation in all types of yoga practice. When the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known and nothing remains unknown. The Vedas, Mundaka Upanishad, say, Kasminnu Bhagavato Vigyate Sarvamidang Vigyatam Bhavatiti. In the last two talks, I've been speaking about philosophy, especially just a Western philosophy, or just a little touch of the vast sphere that is Western philosophy. Now, we often talk about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Philosophical talk. But we don't find any word in Bhagavad Gita that is emphasized, the word philosophy. Maybe we have there in the, what is that, 13th chapter, Rishibhya Bahudha Gitam, Chandobhya Vivitai Pritak, that the rishis say in various ways. So, in the There are different kinds of statements in the Vedic hymns. But generally the word is used jnana, which means knowledge. There's a difference, isn't it? Philosophy means wandering around on the chariot of the mind, the manorath. And jnana means knowledge. So here Krishna says, I will give knowledge. It's a bold claim. Krishna can make it. Now, as I've said several times, that in philosophy, we begin with epistemology, finding out how we get knowledge. Krishna doesn't do that here in Bhagavad Gita. He just says, I'm going to tell you this is knowledge. So it begins with faith in Krishna. Actually, I was thinking about that. You could say that philosophy begins with epistemology, but there's no real. If you really want to be nitpicking, then you could say, well, there's no real beginning. Even in the Vedanta Sutras, it doesn't begin with epistemology. It begins with atato brahma jignasa. Now we should inquire into the nature of Brahman, which is stating what we should inquire into. It doesn't give the method of inquiring into it. And then the second sutra is defining what is Brahma, janmadyasya yataha, that from which everything emanates, etc., is Brahma. And then only in the third verse, or the third sutra, yashastra yonitvat, that it's to be understood from shastra. Only in the third verse do we come to epistemology. And that's, and then what's, what is that? Tate samanvayam. And then why should we accept shastra? Because shastra gives perfect knowledge. And then launch into the whole Vedanta Sutra. So it's very brief. So now we should increase. So before even we come to the point of epistemology, we come to the point of, well, what are we doing here anyway? Why should we even bother? Why are we interested in knowledge? Why are we interested in philosophy? So that's not stated in the first sutra of Vedanta Sutras, but it is implied, and then the commentators, they fluff that out, or they give the reason. And Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on Vedanta Sutras, which follows the previous commentators, says that atato means now one should inquire. Therefore, now one should inquire into the. Therefore, that's a funny word to begin a book with, isn't it? Therefore. Therefore. You don't begin a book with therefore. You walk up to someone and the first thing you say to them is therefore, and it doesn't seem to make sense, does it? But the idea is that there's any way to get to this point, you've already been through all the different Vedic literature. And therefore is said in relation to that, okay, now you've been through all the, you've followed all the rules and regulations of the Vedas, you've studied everything, you've come to the point of understanding that just like we were reading the verse yesterday, the world of names, that verse also began with the word atta, therefore. Therefore, having seen that everything in this world is useless, therefore one should inquire into that which is beyond it. So that's the beginning. When one becomes tired of material life and wants to go further. But then you may say, well, first of all, then one has to follow all the Vedic rules, and then you go on and on and on, and there's no end to it. But if we want to start philosophy, then we have to find out how to get knowledge. And here's the solution. Krishna says, actually, philosophy as it's understood, yeah, means some mental masturbation, but Krishna says, I will give you knowledge. When we're fed up of wandering around on the chariot of our mind or trying to jump on someone else's chariot, let's study Kant's philosophy, let's study Plato's philosophy, let's study this philosophy, that philosophy. When we're fed up of that and we want to know what the actual fact is, then we have to come to what Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. And that does require a leap of faith, no doubt, because some may say, well, why Krishna? And Krishna says, I will give you knowledge. Now, talking about philosophers, the most famous and revered of the ancient philosophers of Greece was Socrates. Although the Greeks didn't come up with anything new, whatever they'd speculated upon had already been speculated upon in India. It's not that all Indian philosophy is the absolute truth. That's why Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna was confused because he'd heard some iti sushruma. Arjuna says to Krishna, I have heard that people who destroy the family tradition, they dwell in hell forever. I've heard. So he heard so many things and he was confused. Now Krishna is to give proper knowledge. You were making that point the other day to me, right? That someone had told you that there's Darwin's theory and then there are little blobs floating around in the primordial soup. And then the blobs turn into fish and then the fish jump on the land and grow some limbs and then they become monkeys and then they're looking for the fruits in the tree so they stand up and they become a human being. And eventually, here we are, 2019. Wait a minute. I have to go back to ancient Greece. So there they all running around with Tarzan jumping on Jane and producing little Tarzans and little Janes. And all of a sudden you have these Greeks who all this big philosophy. So what happened? There was a paradigm shift. Well, maybe they got something from India. Anyway, Socrates said that the only good is knowledge and the only evil is ignorance, giving a definition of good and evil. Is that necessarily true? I have knowledge of how to kill people. So, is that good? Or I have knowledge of how to make chapatis. Is that good? Not in and of itself. Right? I have knowledge how to treat people with medicine. Is that good? No, in and of itself it's not. If you utilize it, then it may be good. If you don't utilize it, it's not good. So what type of knowledge was he talking about when he said that? Yeah, well, there are so many different kinds of knowledge, and even to live in this world, we need some kind of knowledge, just like we see around us. There are so many agricultural fields which are being neglected, but previously they were farmed. Some of them, we see a few grapevines. So even to grow grapes, you have to know something about it, right? You need some knowledge. You have to do it right. Otherwise, you don't get grapes. Houses are built here. Definitely you need some proper knowledge to build houses. It's quite common in India up to the present time that some apartment blocks are built and then after some time they collapse because, well, the people may have known how to build them properly, but they cheated in the materials. So they knew how to cheat, but then the building isn't strong enough to resist the severe weather, such as is now happening in India. It's time for severe weather. The monsoon season has come. Or it used to be, it was fairly common in India. I remember when they started building high-rise buildings, means about 4 or 5 stories at the time. Now they're building bigger buildings. In Calcutta, there's one just around the corner from our temple, and it was clearly an imitation of the Leaning Tower of Pisa because it was leaning over. I believe it's still leaning over there, just on the corner of which road, I can't remember, just around the corner from our temple. So it wasn't built very well. Maybe the architect didn't know how to do it properly, or maybe they didn't even have an architect. I mean, you can't build buildings without architects. It used to be that people built their own houses without architects. But if you're going to build anything it looks like all these houses around here, they're all architect designed, huh? They're all different. You have to have a plan. Yeah, if you're going to build a building different from if it's just a just like in the communist time, you find all over the whole eastern area, there's just all the same drab, functional apartments. You come into Moscow, and for miles and miles, there's just completely drab, the same thing, and it's the same in Prague and everywhere. So, but it must have been designed in the beginning. They must have deliberately designed it to make it look as unaesthetic and as unpleasing as possible. But it was functional, just functional, that's all. So there's some knowledge how to do that. There's knowledge how to heal the body. There are so many plants here, or to nourish the body, and someone who knows, they'll know how to utilize every plant. Every plant has some usage. I don't know how to utilize any. There's some elderberries on the tree. They're not ripe yet. It'll be another, I don't know here how quickly that will be ripe in another. Well, they're still growing. So that's one thing I know. The berries from elderberry. Otherwise, there are so many plants. But people who know, they know how to utilize. So that's useful. But it doesn't. That knowledge doesn't help us to satisfy our inner urge for full happiness, for full knowledge. Why am I here? That's pragmatic knowledge, but it doesn't satisfy the soul. Oh, wait a minute, is there a soul? Is there a soul? How can we know there's a soul? Is there a soul? Yeah, you have been cutting up bodies. Is it all your life, much of your life, Murari Gupta, doctor? You never saw a soul. If you do an autopsy, well, you find a soul. Cutting up cadavers, well, there's no the soul left, right? That's why it's a cadaver. But you, if you do an MRI scan or CAT scan or sonography or X-ray, did you ever see a soul? Oh, how do you know it exists? Well, there is that. There is that in the Science of Self-Realization. Srila Prabhupada wrote to one doctor in Canada, I think his name was Bigelow, that the doctor said he was a heart surgeon. He said he saw so many people die, and it seems that there's something leaving the body. So Srila Prabhupada wrote to him about soul research. Well, how can we know? This doctor, he had some intuition that there is a soul. But how is he going to find out? Not by medical research. You have to go to a specialist. Just like if you have a heart problem, you go to a heart specialist. If you have a skin problem, you go to a skin specialist. Cardiologist, dermatologist, there are so many branches. You go in some big hospital, they have so many branches, like a small city. They're all different branches of specialty in medicines. We need someone who knows what they're doing. Even it may be a very good doctor, the best doctor. He may be the most famous dermatologist in the whole of Croatia. But it won't be very helpful if we have a heart problem, most likely. He may tell us, go and see this one. But apart from some primary knowledge, if there's some suspected heart problem, then you have to go and see the expert. And that's with everything. When your car breaks down, if you don't know how to mend it yourself, then you call in the mechanic. Or if your computer breaks down, if you don't know how to call it, then you have to call in the hardware engineer and this and that. So getting knowledge, and then we get knowledge. What's in the news? What's in the news these days? Anything? Anyone following the news? Any news? Anything? Not much going on in the world. Is there anything?
India is planning to send a rover to moon on tomorrow.
India is going to send a space rover to the moon tomorrow. And it's going to take 3 days to reach there, is it, or what? They're going to send it. That means they had to do all the, they had to do all the research work that the Americans previously did way back in the 1960s, because you have to shoot it right and get it on target. And I don't know, how do you calibrate something moving in space so it doesn't go off course? If you go a little bit off course, then you miss the thing altogether. Right, you stick something on some big firework and just shoot it, goes up, and how's it going to go straight to the moon? Is there any way of calibrating it in space? You can steering it?
There are rocket motors in the...
Yeah, but what's it going to fire against if there's no, there's very little atmosphere in space, right? So we're told.
Yeah, they don't need air to run. They have liquid fuel.
Yeah, but I'm saying to get it to get it steering right. They say there's wind in space.
And by when you fire.
Oh, he studied in the what was it, aeronautics or something? But that was terrestrial, not extraterrestrial, right? But you know something about it.
Yeah, I'd include some of that.
Also. Yeah.
So the trajectory. Yeah. Like this, it can be varied. The radius can be changed, the whole trajectory can be just...
Yeah, but my point is, what does it push against in space? If you want to steer your car, there's some resistance, you turn the wheel, and there's some resistance which makes it turn, and it pushes against the road, right? So what is there to push against in space? There's nothing to push against. You just fire it up in a rocket, which is just like a big firework. And how can it be so super accurate that it's going to go all the way to the moon?
It all happens in, first it rotates the Earth, then slowly they fire the rocket and...
They rotate, they get to the edge of the Earth's atmosphere, then again they fire.
They fire, then they try to come to the atmosphere of...
But once they escapes the Earth's atmosphere...
Yeah, so they fire it such a way...
Then they have to go through the Van Allen belt...
To the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to the moon's atmosphere, and then it is slowly.
Yeah, but that's my point. How does it get in between here and there? If it's a little bit off course, you're gonna. If it's 0.001 off course, it's gonna miss the moon. You're gonna fly past and say, "Haribo," take some photos.
So just at the point where it is leaving the Earth's atmosphere, it has to be the rocket motor.
It has to be fired. Absolutely correct.
Yeah, absolutely correctly fired so that it goes to the moon's.
They have to catch the gravitation field of moon. They don't have to hit the planet.
And there are all kinds of asteroids out there, maybe not so close. A little rocks going on. I don't know. I have some doubts about it. How they could do that in the 1960s. Kennedy said we're going to go to the moon. When was that? In 1965 or something? And they were nowhere near doing it. And within 4 years, they did it. All the scientists say is we can't do it. We're way behind the Russians, but somehow or other they did it.
Supposedly,
yeah. And then they lost all the information about how to do it. You know that it was just lost. They couldn't find it later. So anyway, what's going on in the world? There are so many people telling us the news, giving us information, knowledge. Well, the Vedic knowledge of the soul, it's not exactly information about what's going on in the world. So how are we going to find out? And there are so many issues which we can't find out from scientists or historians or geographers, people who give us information of this world. For apart from spiritual knowledge, there is we need to know how do we run a society? What is the right thing to do in certain situations? Moral dilemmas, you could say. How do we get free from the difficulties in our life? How can we overcome that? So this is a kind of knowledge that is not specific or based on empirical understanding. But there is knowledge also, because that's why people go to gurus and psychiatrists and life, what is that called? Life coaches. Is that what they call them? Life coaches, which are just some kind of secular gurus, I guess. Priests, yeah? Yeah, priests. Or whatever, in different cultures. An atheist, they won't believe in that. But then they make their own, they have their own priesthood. The psychologists are like the priests who guide us, tell us what we need to do and why we are. Why do we have so many anxieties and hang-ups? It's all because of repressed libido. We have... Did they teach you that? They taught you in detail, huh? Why people have so many psychological problems. One interesting observation is that since Freudian psychology became instituted as the substitute for praying to God, practically speaking, that with the rise of the status of psychology, people in the world have had more and more psychological problems. People didn't used to have so many psychological problems. there's some correlation there. They give so much psychological advice, and people get more and more crazy. So, yeah, then our process is tad vigyanartam sagarum eva abhigacchat, seeing that this world is full of misery. And even if we go to the heavenly planets, it's full of misery. We have to come back. Then we have to go to a guru who can tell us. Or you can go to a Christian, you can go to a priest who's supposed to know from the Bible. How reliable is the Bible? If we ask the Christians, how reliable is the knowledge given in Christianity, for instance, if we ask them that what is the soul? They don't know, actually. There's no information. What is the soul? What is the nature of God? When we go to God, presume we go to God, what do we do? What does God do? Then if it's only by Jesus that you go to God, then what about all the people who came before Jesus? What about the people who never heard about Jesus? What about the people who are preconditioned to not accept the message of Jesus? Just like, for instance, if you go to Thailand, which up to the present day is a staunchly Buddhist country, and you try to preach Christianity, it's one of the major flop areas for preaching Christianity is Thailand. There's not even much effort there to preach Christianity, at least when I was there in the 1980s, because they're staunch Buddhists. So God made such people, He got them to be born in a culture where even if mostly they won't get much information about Christianity, and even if they do, they're predisposed not to accept it. That means He wants them all to go to hell forever. Christians don't have answers to these questions. And then one of the, they don't have good answers. It's surprising, actually, how it seems they never even thought about this. Once I was on a plane in America with a disciple of mine, Ved Narayan. I was sitting on there were three seats. I was sitting in the aisle, he was sitting in the center, and on the window seat was a woman, and she turned out to be a Christian preacher. And we were good targets for her because we were dressed in our Vaishnav dress. So she started preaching and he was saying something and I was chanting my rounds. And then after some time, I said to him, just ask her, how is it that That, yeah, that was the question. Yeah, that people, what happened to people who never heard of Jesus? I gave this. And then she was completely flustered. She started looking through her books and this and that, and she never thought of it. She never even thought of the question. She was very confident. Yeah, you have to go to Jesus. She got completely flustered. And what about the question? This is the one which really shook my faith in God, actually, because the only idea I knew about God was the Catholic idea given. But in the teachings that I was taught as a child, and it's not only me, there are thousands and maybe millions of people in the Western world who don't like Christianity. It was this idea that you go to hell, God sends you to hell forever. If you don't get it right in one life, you go to hell forever. And that when I was about, 12 years old or something, then I started to think, hey, that doesn't sound right at all. That doesn't sound very good. And what's more, you have to be a Catholic. It's no use being a Protestant. You can believe in God as much as you like. You can say Jesus as much as you like. But if you're a Protestant, you're going to hell. And of course, the Protestants say, if you're a Catholic, you're going to hell, because the Pope is the Antichrist, right? The Antichrist. Ian Paisley, the most prominent Protestant preacher in the United Kingdom in recent times, he was elected as a European Union politician. And one time they called Pope John the 23rd to the European Parliament to speak. And Pope John is... John... No, wait a minute. I'm getting the wrong Pope here. John Paul. And then he stands up, and Ian Paisley stands up in front of all the European Parliament and says, "You are the Antichrist!" It was very heavy to be in Ireland, in those days, Northern Ireland, because the Protestants, these old Catholics, they're all going to hell. Whew. But what's happened in Northern Ireland nowadays, the young people, they're mostly not into Christianity at all. They're fed up with it all. This just on the basis of some medieval belief that people, they're fighting with each other and killing each other. Oh, so there are so many problems there. Of course, you might point out problems as Christians. In India, they point out problems in believing in Krishna. See, Krishna was immoral. He had so many wives and so many girlfriends, and he killed people. Our Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and your Krishna, he's killing people. So there'll be arguments, which is best about this, and then you can go to Buddhism, forget God altogether. There is no God. They don't even talk about God because God doesn't come in the picture. There is no picture. Everything is nothing. So, but they have their scriptures also, but not exactly scripture. It doesn't have the same status, or it's not supposed to have the same status as scripture, because Buddha is not, in one sense, he's not even meant to be the authority. You're supposed to find out for yourself. But then they have, realization is something you have to get by yourself. But then Buddha shows the way, the middle way, and this and that. And there are different scriptures, and there's Tripitaka, three baskets, and then later on, hundreds of years later, they came with Lalita Vistara, which is supposed to be the life of Buddha, and so on and so on. Dharmapada, there's so many things. But they have a huge volume of writings made by different monks who wrote sitting and thinking and writing. And a lot of fighting among themselves, philosophical fighting, different theories, so many different theories about how nothing is nothing. What is the nature? What is the nature of shunya? What is the nature of nothingness? Well, it doesn't have a, well, you can't really say that because it doesn't have a nature. But, and so, anyway, so a very, very complex philosophy. But anyway, they have their guides also there. You can go to different monks and ask them about different things. This Dalai Lama is the most prominent Buddhist in the world today. In Sri Lanka, they don't like him at all. He's a heretic. He's Mahayana. In Sri Lanka, it's the Theravada, the original Buddhism. Then, the other thing you can do is don't go to anyone at all. Just work it all out yourself. Moral relativism. I can just think about it myself and work it all out myself. That whatever I believe, that's true for me. You've all heard this, right? It's true for me. Right? Maybe not in Lika. You don't get such silly people over there, do you? Apart from that, what's his name? The guy who went to prison? I can't remember his name just now, yeah. So, it's my truth. It's my truth. I believe. Yeah, I have my own truth, my own reality. Very puffed up idea, isn't it? You have your own truth. Again, I have my own truth. 2 + 2 = 5. Okay, now we're going to build this building based on my mathematics. 2 + 2 = 5, and then the building falls down because it has to be based on standard mathematics. Right? We're building a building. It comes down to, in the theoretical level, comes down to mathematics. Right? You have to have your math right because you have to put everything so it holds together. So how much at different angles, you have to place things at different angles, mostly in the structure of the building you need, mostly will be right angles, 90 degree angles. And you have to see how much strain can be put, so that is all worked out using mathematics. If you get the math wrong, then your building's going to fall down. And even in simple things, when you're mixing concrete with sand, how much concrete to put, how much sand to put, how much water to put, if you get the ratio wrong, it's going to go wrong. And that's what happens in many buildings in India. If you don't supervise how they're building, they'll put more sand than cement, because sand is cheaper than cement. So they cheat you, but you don't get a good building, and it falls down quite quickly. So you may think, I have my own truth. I have my own truth. But reality is independent of our own way of thinking. We may think so many things. And actually, we're in this big mess called material existence because we're trying to find our own truth. We don't accept the authorities to understand what is actual reality. So here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna promises, I will now give you complete knowledge, knowing which there will be nothing more to be known, by knowing which one can cross over all the miseries of material existence. It requires some faith to accept that Arjuna did. He declared provisional faith already before this, when he said, "Shishaste hang shadi mang tuam prapannam," I accept you as a guru. And then he said to Krishna, and then later on, only later, he came to the point, "Sarva metad ritang manye yang mang vadisi keshva," I accept as truth everything you say. And then why? Because Krishna is Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Krishna is the supreme authority. And then why should we accept Krishna as the supreme authority? Because ahas tvang rishaya sarve devarshya naradastata asito devalo vyas svayam chaiva bravishime. Because all the people, all the authorities, they accept Krishna as the supreme. And the knowledge that Krishna gives, it's the same knowledge as is in Shastra. Chandobhivivihaipritak, Brahma Sutra Bhattaischaiva, Hetu Madhivinishchitai. That's all, it's ascertained in Shastra, but that Shastra comes from Krishna. Now, we may say that's some kind of circular reasoning, but then where do we go? We can't, we're sitting in this world, how are we going to find out what is ultimate reality? How is an ant running around going to find out? The ant is living in the building, the ant doesn't have the capability to understand that he's living in a building. It's beyond his ability to understand that there is such a thing as a building, and it was built by people with a specific purpose, and all the engineering that went into it, and all the effort that went into it, is beyond the ant's capacity to understand. So how can we understand what is in the human form of life? Atato Brahma Jignasa. In the human form of life, we have the opportunity to inquire into this. Practically speaking, unless one has become materially exhausted, unless one has become purified by following the initial Vedic processes, then the question doesn't even arise in one's mind. People are bewildered by the Vedic hymns. They're very pious people, but they become bewildered by the idea of going to the heavenly planets. But when one gets beyond all of that, then he can inquire into the nature of ultimate reality. Now, that's only possible in the human life, but still we're very limited. In relation to the whole universe, this is only the one little material universe. We're not much bigger than the ant. From our own perspective, we're much bigger than an ant. But if we look from the top of a 100-story building and look down, we can't see the ant at all. We can hardly even see the human beings. And the humans look like ants also. I don't know if you had that experience. You look down from a high building, and the humans look like they look like ants running around, something like that. They're so small. So we're so small, then it requires some faith that there is knowledge from a higher source. And actually it makes sense. What Krishna says, it makes sense that we are eternal living beings. We are happiness-seeking beings. There is no happiness in this material world. Why? Because iccha dvesha. The whole material world runs on material desire and competition to fulfill material desires that leads to dislike of others. We are not, by our very constitutional nature, enjoyers. We are, by constitutional nature, we are very small. We are subordinate. So this is the whole philosophy or teachings of Krishna consciousness, which Krishna will impart to Arjuna. It requires some initial faith to even begin to listen to that. How is faith created? Faith is created by association with devotees. If we see that devotees are living on a platform that is better than that of the materialists, the devotees, their life is very pure, their consciousness is very pure, there's no exploitation motive in them. They're not... When we meet a devotee, why do we approach a priest or a rabbi or a monk? Because we have faith that they won't exploit us. They have knowledge, not only that they have knowledge which can help us, but we have faith that they're acting only for our interests. They have no other motive in speaking. And of course, then people lose all faith in religion when those who are supposed to be representing religion misuse the faith that is placed in them, and therefore there's so much. I was saying about the turning away from Christianity. Well, one reason, there are multiple reasons. One reason may be the ongoing onslaught of materialism, but also this idea that if we don't believe in something which is not very well explained, then we burn in hell forever. But another major reason has been the scandals of concerning priests in the Roman Catholic Church, of child abuse, And that's also there, sadly, within ISKCON. And fortunately, it's not been a huge number of individuals who've been engaged in child abuse in our movement, but still it's not to minimize that. So, yeah. So, faith. How do we get faith? Well, it's good luck. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, who's fortunate. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Abhij. They can get the seed of devotion from a guru, someone who knows all these things and can explain these things. So it's one has to have faith, but it shouldn't be blind faith. I'll speak about this. It's a big topic. I'll plan on speaking about this some more a little later. Maybe later today or tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Anything, any question, or should I'll finish these talks before that? Okay, then we'll finish. Vanchakalpatarupyas chakibhasindhu vivachapatitanam pavanebhyo vaishnaya.